The Venturi's Voice podcast brings together some of technology's brightest minds to discuss all things leadership, technology, and staffing. Keep the conversation going in the Venturi's Voice Slack group and have the opportunity to meet some of our amazing guests. You can download Venturi's Voice via iTunes or via the Venturi Group website at venturi-group.com. Today's guest is Martin Francis Campbell, the Chief Information Officer at World Vision. Yeah, I mean, obviously, great to have you back anyway. We typically try and keep in touch, but it's great to be able to have you on the show again, Martin. So thanks for taking the time and doing it, mate.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
I think I was really motivated when we spoke on the phone to kind of get this booked in and talk about this. And I suppose a little bit more the kind of disciplined approach. But, you know, it was interesting as obviously you've just started the new job 2 weeks ago, which, by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I found it really a fascinating subject for a lot of different reasons. But what we're going to talk about is taking digital to charity, right, as a subject. And I think at first it probably doesn't necessarily feel that there's a tremendous amount of substance there. But as soon as you kind of dive into the purpose behind this discussion, it's fascinating and it opens up a lot of different doors and a lot of different questions that I had, you know, prior to starting the recording. So it's an interesting space because as we were just talking about before we started the recording, you know, charity, I think there's a lot of misconceptions and hopefully we'll kind of clear some of those things up. But one of them being that they operate, you know, completely differently to, you know, an organization that works for a profit. And actually, the conversation we've just had, you know, you wanted to clear up some of those misconceptions and state that, you know, it actually doesn't. We work towards a profit. It's just where we put that profit and we put that money goes, everything goes back to the service, the product, as opposed to going towards the stakeholders.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, the one thing to grapple with here is that the charity sector, I mean, even here just in the UK, it's a really big sector. You've got around 160,000 organisations. Now, many of those are very, very small. Most of them actually by number don't have employees. They run entirely by volunteers who are, you know, completely unpaid and working for the good of the community that they serve in that particular cause. But some of them are actually pretty big as well. So World Vision, where I've just started as Chief Information Officer, is one of the larger UK charities. We have about 300 people working for the partnership of World Vision here in the UK. And our income here in the UK is around £100 million. So, and that's from voluntary donations from individuals, as well as our funding from institutions as well. So it's a large scale sector and some very large organizations within it. But one of the things that you learn as soon as you really get into charities, and actually as soon as you sort of start to look at even a charity website, is they're very focused on efficiency, on getting the most bang for their buck. It's all about how can we use the donation of time or of money or of services or goods that people give, how can we most effectively turn that into the service that we deliver? And so that imperative for good efficiency rings really true in the commercial sector. Obviously, we have, you know, we work to tight budgets. We make sure that we spend every penny wisely in the commercial sector in order to be a good, efficient business. And it's exactly the same in the charity sector. I think, if anything, we feel that even more keenly. But also on the commercial side, in terms of generating income, you know, a regular business, a commercial business, is about trying to you know, deliver the best service to a customer. So the exchange of money is, you know, directly between the same people that are receiving the service. You give me the money, I give you the service. And in the charity, that is different. It's you give me the money and then I give somebody else the service. But this is, I mean, the point that you just touched on there is that some of the money that you pay in a commercial organization goes to delivering the service, and then the company decides how to spend the rest, and they might spend that on future investment, or they might spend it on paying their investors who have invested cash and need a return. In the charity sector, some of the money that you give is delivered on delivering the service, and then some of that money is then left over and is then kind of, okay, what do we do with this? And that also gets spent on delivering the service. And actually, some of that does get spent on investment, on building the capacity of the charity to be able to do that more, and also on fundraising, on the cost of acquiring your gift, on the credit card charges that get paid. There are costs to be covered there. So there's nobody sitting on top taking off that 20% in terms of a return on investment, because nobody's invested in expecting a return. But the rest of the equation kind of works out very similarly. There's a very tight look on efficiency, and there's a very tight look on what do we need to invest in fundraising and communications in order to continue to be able to do this work, and let's send every other penny that we don't need to do that directly into the field.
And I think this is exactly the point as why maybe charities aren't doing as much digitally as maybe some of the commercial sectors, because I think from my perspective, it would be quite hard, as you mentioned, that money and the investment goes directly back into the customers and into the product. Well, it's almost like that's the linear train of thought, whereas investing heavily in something like tech, for whatever reason, it doesn't feel as though it's as going to be as impactful. And I can understand why there is a little bit of reluctance to invest in tech, but the concept of tech and what we're using it for needs to be readjusted, because essentially what we're using tech for now is it's just a platform. It's just something that we're leveraging to do X better for the people. So it's almost like there needs to be a bit more of an education about why there, and a stronger case made clearly as to why it's so important to actually put that money into the technology.
Well, I think that's right, and I mean my observation about the charity sector and having worked in the sector for many, many years is that the charity sector runs behind the commercial sector by something like a decade in terms of where the tech is in the charity sector versus where you would expect it to be in the commercial sector. Really don't see very many iPads in charities. They're the exception rather than the rule. And obviously that's a technology that's been around and very common in the business world for a decade now. Looking at why that is exactly as you described there. There's a real sense of, is this something that we absolutely need, or is this something that actually would just take money away from our, delivering our cause and our promise to support us? And so there's a real reluctance when things are brand new to actually invest money in them at the point where they're really expensive and the benefits are unclear. So I think that's why we see the gap that we see at the moment. But with all of that said, we can see, many, many charities using tech extremely well, and for many it's an essential part of their operations. So we were just talking about the Indonesian situation, which has just unfolded over the last few days before we've sat down to record this, where we've had an earthquake, a tsunami. We're hearing, further activity there today in terms of geothermal activity and therefore real danger. Now, the people on the ground there, there's World Vision people on the ground who are already working in the area, they're absolutely reliant on communications technology to be able to do their job, to be able to indicate where the need is, where aid is required, and where people are in danger. So, we can see, hang on, there's an essential job that tech needs to do here, which, without tech, we could not do our job. So there's this balance to strike that says we don't want to be at the expensive part of tech. We don't want to be the early adopters who are going to pay the price for, knocking all the loose edges off of this these platforms before they're really fit for purpose. But equally, once they do become fit for purpose, then we really need to make sure we don't miss out on that. And I think tech, particularly digital tech at the moment, web communications technology, has really matured to the degree that things which were really expensive to do a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, I talked about, we were just speaking briefly about the Asian tsunami, that's sort of a decade or so ago. And when that was happening and I was working with the British Red Cross, we had to literally phone up our service provider, spin up a new server in Iraq, and, you know, spend half a day getting things ready to be able to take extra donations with a big appeal coming. These days, we log into our cloud service provider and we turn up the dial and we say, great, let's have some more capacity. So things that used to be expensive and time consuming in tech are now really not. And so I think now is absolutely the time when charities are saying, right, we're behind the times, but actually now the commercial world has really dealt with all the expensive stuff and they've figured out how it should not be expensive anymore. And now it's massively cost effective for us to come in and do this because we can get all the tech, we can, you know, general expertise available in these kinds of areas, but we don't have to pay that premium for going first. We can just go straight to the benefits. So it's a very exciting time. You know, a lot of charities, I was at a conference last week, a lot of charities are going through this process of digital transformation, of kind of catching up and trying to get where they need to be. And it's important.
What tech's in particular? Well, I guess I'd say there's lots of congestion from that, but a couple really. Firstly, why is it that this lag kind of exists? Because it's not, after talking, I think initially it seemed quite obvious why there would be a lag there, but then after speaking with you, it doesn't seem quite as obvious anymore as why that lag should be there. You know, you mentioned 10 years. And beyond that, is it the tech itself that actually the uses of it hasn't actually been there? I don't know. Is that part of the equation, that the kind of the effectiveness? It's obviously very difficult to kind of engage in any sort of beta testing of technology when you're in charity. You know, we need to be absolutely confident that it's going to do the job, so it's not kind of wasteful, and investing in testing, I can understand, is quite difficult. But yes. So what is it?
I think there are a couple of reasons, and I think there's a sort of push and pull going on. You know, charities are always looking for efficiency. So we talked about this before. We're looking to get as much bang for a buck as we absolutely can in the field doing the work that we're trusted to do. Mm-hmm. And so something that might improve that is absolutely of interest and is you know, really key. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of charities innovating and saying, you know, it's important that we send as much money as we can to the field. And part of that is actually testing what works best in the field. Because if we don't do something that we could do to make things better because, well, it's new and we don't do new, then we're letting our supporters down and we're really letting those that we serve down. So I think there is a push towards innovation. Now, when it comes to the field, I think this is the case for most charities, the tech that you use has to be reliable. It has to be absolutely bulletproof because, you know, if you're working, as we were just saying, in a disaster response situation, you need rugged tech that's not going to let you down. If you're working in a refugee camp or to support rural operations in Central Africa, you need technology that's going to not cause you problems. It's not something that you want to have to worry about. So there we look for a maturity in tech. And in other charities, and, you know, for example, charities dealing with medical disorders, the volunteers or the folks on the ground delivering those services are focused on the patient. They're focused on the person receiving the service, and they don't want to be distracted by, oh, this tech's changed again, I need to reboot it, and all that kind of stuff that we would get away with if we're just sitting on the train wasting some time on Facebook. So there's a maturity there. And so I think that's part of the reason why we would see technology being behind. It's the same thing that you would find in the oil industry, where you need to be in a rugged environment and it needs to absolutely not let you down, or, you know, sailing around the world, whatever those hardened environments are. So that's where I think some of the sort of constraints come from. But also I think there is, you know, when it comes to the marketing tech, there is a real sense of, well, we really need to see this work and we really need to have a higher degree of confidence in it, because we're with a commercial organization, an investor knows there's an element of risk in what they're doing, and that's quite a substantial element of risk. So, you know, when folks invested in Netflix, the gamble was that this could go really big, really fast, and it might not have worked. And various other competitors didn't work, and the investors, you know, lost their shirts. And that's part of the deal for those organizations. And so those organizations are set up in a way that is that they're able to take more risks. They're deliberately set up to take the risks and to make a gamble. And if they judge it right, then they do incredibly well and obviously take down big incumbents. Charities are less that they don't have that remit. They don't have the remit to try and figure out something new and amazing. They have the remit to do the best job they can on a kind of a known quantity, even if it's research into a condition. It's still, well, that's the condition you need to solve. That's what we're funding you for. If you happen to solve something else along the way, well, okay, that's brilliant, but that's not what we asked you to do. Have you solved the problem we asked you to do yet? So there is a different setup in those organizations. And I think that drives a little bit more of a sense of risk aversion in those organizations. But I think what needs to be not forgotten is that whilst we are comfortable that we're running along behind, that we're not absolutely the bleeding edge of technology in all areas, that we're still running at the same speed because we don't want to get any further behind. And at the point where technology gets to the situation where it actually becomes easy to adopt, where we can move our servers into the cloud and actually that's a safe thing to do, you know, organizations, commercial organizations were kind of umming and ahhing over this 4 or 5 years ago. It's like, well, is it really safe? And now it's like, yeah, kind of everybody gets, so that's a good thing to do. So now charities are saying, okay, well, we don't need to be 10 years behind here. We can catch up a bit, and they're moving forward. Where there's a clear case of, yeah, this is proven, they're able to move ahead. So I think that's the challenging part, is working out, okay, where do we push ahead here? Where do we try and, really catch up, almost level pegging with commercial organizations? And in some areas, particularly around the communications and marketing, we are in a position where the current state of the art is very applicable to charities. The ability to tailor the messaging to the interests of the person that's receiving that messaging, let them choose what they want to see, how often they want to engage. That's very much state of the art in commercial marketing, and charities can use that because it is accessible and inexpensive.
Yeah. Like you say, it's the decision making loop that makes it extremely difficult. Because you do get a lot of pressure, and there is, negativity, I suppose, that's thrown towards charitable organisations. When we spoke on the phone last time, I know we were talking about some of the negativity that people have about how charitable employees are managed, for instance. So you kind of get the press, and for some reason it's sort of irresistible for the press and people to kind of point the finger and have this kind of negativity around charities. I know even with like
I think charities sometimes get an unduly harsh time in the press. Sometimes it's just the agenda that particular organization has is to be negative towards a particular group of people, and the charity is geared to help that group of people, so they're going to be really critical of that, and they will really push hard to the extent that some would say that they're distorting the actual truth of what's going on. But on other occasions, I think charities need to be really careful about how they're portraying their work, because I think particularly in this country, it's a little bit different in the US and some parts of Europe, but particularly in this country, we really don't like being preached to. We really have this aversion to somebody saying, I'm doing this thing and therefore, I'm better than you. Nobody likes that. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, often inadvertently, people perceive that charities are positioning themselves as, we're doing better work than you are because we're all focused on helping people and you're not. And I think, if charities sort of occasionally cross that line, then people react in a negative way. And also, sometimes the lack of updating practices and the lack of focus on internal controls, because we want to deliver all the money that we can to the field, gives way to some really bad practice. So you've had in the past very bad practice in fundraising. you know, people sort of persistently being badgered around the fundraising asks, people's data being misused. That's all been clamped down on. And so I think a lot of the regulation that's come out recently in the charity sector, there's been a few major pieces of legislation over the last 5 years, has really been in reaction to some really poor practice that's emerged over the years. And certainly those charities would now look back on it and say, yeah, we actually, with hindsight, we would have done that differently. Certainly the folks at Oxfam who were criticised for the activities of some of their wayward employees in the field back in Haiti would say, actually, we could have handled that differently and that would have been a better way to do things. But equally, in some areas, not in that one, but in other areas, you say sort of people applying today's standards to sort of what happened 10 years ago and saying, well, hang on, the world was a little bit different then. The sensitivity, for example, that we have about our personal data now is very different to that we had 10 years ago. So we need to be really up to date as a charity around, and this really applies in the tech world more than any, I think, around how we're handling this world of regulation to make sure that we're actually true to the spirit of that, as well as, you know, following the processes themselves.
Mate, it's really interesting. And, you know, for you personally, I know you're kind of on a bit of a mission to kind of take digital and really, you know, try and close that lag as much as possible. You know, from your approach, you know, from the get-go, what is your kind of initial focus? Obviously, 2 weeks in, you're an incredibly ambitious person. What is the kind of ambition? Are you approaching it from, you know, short, mid, long term perspective, or is there just kind of that overriding vision that, you know, we were talking about, is, you know, one of the massive advantages of working in the charitable organization is that the vision's kind of a given. You know, so how are you kind of approaching that, you know, from the get-go?
Yeah, I mean, my first job really has been learning, and I'm only just, you know, beginning on that journey of just really understanding where the charity is. So just getting under the skin and seeing how things really tick is a huge priority. But I mean, when I look across charity, I look at digital, and I kind of sort of break it up into a few different areas. I think there's, you know, when people say, you know, what is digital, it really breaks down, and it's, you know, people are very clear about, well, the website, that's digital. Yep, get that. Mm-hmm. You know, the sort of digital channels, I would say, how we deliver content, that's digital. And then there's the marketing, sort of digital marketing, the Google AdWords, the search engine optimization, those sorts of areas. People understand that's digital as well. It's a digital area. And then you get into social media, and you realize that charities are really often just treating social media as a place for advertising, mm-hmm. rather than actually getting into what it is. And then you get into analytics and culture, which are areas where I think digital really changes organizations. And you realize in those areas, actually, we're not too advanced. So in each of those categories, what I'm seeing is, you know, the very first stage that organizations go through is just kind of replacing what they were doing in the analog world with the digital equivalent. So you had a newsletter, you have an e-newsletter. You just basically stick an e on the start of everything. You send mail, now you send email. That's great. And organizations find it quite easy to do that because you can kind of carry on doing most of what you were doing and just stick the e on right at the very last stage. But of course, that doesn't actually deliver very much in terms of benefit. So where I really want to push forward is actually taking us up the scale and saying, okay, we had a thing that we did. Let's reimagine that activity and say, well, if we didn't have the newsletter to start with and we were just starting from scratch in a digital world, what would that look like? And so getting people to start to think about that is the next stage. And then once we've kind of thrown off the shackles of the analog world, the way we used to do things, then I think people are ready to have the real conversation, which is, okay, how do we change our business model? How do we change fundamentally what we're doing in such a way that we can actually make a difference? Because if you look at the commercial world, that's where the real benefits were gained. There's lots of people in the charity world talk about Netflix versus Blockbuster. And there's a whole myth that goes around that says, Netflix invested in digital and Blockbuster didn't. And that's not true. Blockbuster invested a lot of money in digital. They invested a lot of money in replacing what they were doing in the storefront with an electronic storefront. And they did a lot of work, tremendous work. And what they missed was actually you need to change the business model. And you need to realize that the thing which used to be really expensive and valuable, which was the ability to get feature films in your home, no longer has a premium on it. The thing that now is expensive and valuable is choice. And you can't deliver both of those things. You have to make a choice. And Netflix went with choice. We're not going to deliver the latest blockbusters to you. You don't get the latest movies on Netflix, but you do get the ability to binge watch loads of stuff, and there's massive choice, and we're going to make it really cheap. And that's why ultimately they lost out. And I think charities have not gone through that process of reimagining the business model and saying the things that used to be expensive are now cheap. And that's going to be a really, really exciting change. So that's where I'm focused. So, you know, coming in at CIO level, it's a senior level within the organization. It's a new role within the organization. So it's great that I have that benefit of, you know, I haven't just been handed a plate full of stuff from a previous incumbent to carry on with. It's really about saying, okay, I'm actually happy with the way that we're running our digital projects at the moment. You know, we could certainly do better. I can see ways that we can improve them, but there's nothing that's going on where I'm saying, oh no, hang on, we need to stop and pause that. So I'm really focused not on the short term, but on the long term, on building that digital capability, so that actually right across the organization we have people starting to think about the changes in a different way at a different level, which is kind of quite hard to make tangible. And so to make it tangible, we really need to work by example. So the teams that are working directly in my unit will be switching over to some sort of digital culture type things. So very much working by the numbers and seeing in real time what impact our actions and the changes that we make have on the numbers, and sharing those and making them visible to everybody. Things that in a startup you'd find absolutely natural. You'd walk in, you'd see a screen full of numbers, it tells you how the business is doing. But in a charity is kind of unheard of. So we're going to drive some of those changes by example and you know, see if we can spread the word throughout the organization that way. So it'll be an exciting journey. It's a real push forward from the last business that I worked with was a very, very high growth financial technology startups when we last spoke. Mm-hmm. You know, we went from nothing. You know, 18 months later, we got our first seven-figure offer for the business, and it went on to be successfully sold in 3 years. So, you know, that kind of digital growth and digital capability is what we want to build inside this charity organization, and it's going to be a very interesting journey. I'm blogging the journey quite openly, so if anyone wants to follow me at the charity CIO on Twitter, you'll see those posts coming out. We're sharing as we go along, and there will absolutely definitely be some failures, and hopefully other charities can learn from those things that we try. They'll take away our lessons learned so they can move even faster than we will. So yeah, exciting times.
Thanks, Martin, mate. Enjoyed it. Good to have you on again.
Wonderful. Good to be here. Thanks ever so much, Ernie.
Thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturi's Voice Slack group. See you next time.